Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Deuteronomy 6, and we have one of the most famous passages that we will cover today in all the Bible. In fact, it's known as the Shema, or Shema, some might pronounce it, and it comes to us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Now, we already talked about that word in the previous chapter, but probably where that word has become more famous has come from this chapter. Got a lot on my mind as I partake of this chapter. You know, this book being when the Israelites are about to enter the promised land and God's about to give them victory, and as he calls it, a land flowing with milk and honey. And his concern is that when they get there, that they obey him, that they follow him. Couple of things that are on my mind is, you know, like, when do we have transitions in life where we're going to enter a new stage of life? I recently had a young lady reach out to me that I've ministered to a certain extent, and she is going away to college, and she's like, I'm kind of worried about keeping my faith in college, and I'm also kind of concerned about, what am I supposed to do? I want to have the full college experience, but I also don't want to turn away from God. So we're trying to, talk about those things. And I think one of the things that I'll talk to her about is the book of Deuteronomy, because it is a real transition book where you're going to a new land. You're starting a new place, you know, and I would say, let's say you move, or you move churches, or you move with your job, and now you have to start a new phase of life. Really important that you do what you need to get reconnected again and keep up your own spiritual disciplines in the Word of God so that you keep your faith strong. And, you know, going away to college in particular is a really hard thing. And I think that if I could go back with each of my children, I think Deuteronomy would be a great place to spend some time while they're in high school before those college years come, and reminding them of the things that God has said. Another thing that's really on my mind this morning is, you know, we know that we're saved by faith in Jesus and we're forgiven our sins because he was the Lamb of God and we believe in him. And because we believe in him, we've been accredited righteousness, just as Abraham was made righteous by faith, so are we. And that's all good and right. But life is more than about salvation. Like, you know, salvation, yes, it's something that we receive the promise of now, that we're going to come into the fullness of one day when we, you know, die, or maybe when Jesus comes back to rapture his church. Then we're going to walk into the salvation, but it's a promise we have now. But life's more than about salvation. Like, we have a life to live here on earth. You know, one of the most, you know, famous New Testament passages, without turning there, comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, you know, you are saved by grace through faith, not of works, so that no man can boast. In fact, I'm going to turn there real quick. And then it says, a lot of times we'll just, you know, stop there, on the beautiful, rich gospel that's presented in Ephesians chapter 2. But then it says, but we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That I didn't actually get there yet, but that was from memory, and I think that was pretty darn close. But let me go ahead and turn there. Let me read it. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And what that would do, that passage, it would emphasize the faith, right? And I mean, that's good and right. You know, salvation's through faith. And that's good and right. But then it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And it's kind of like, well, what use is faith if we say we believe, or maybe we are, we believe and we get saved, but then we don't live for God. Like, we're here to serve him. We're here to make an impact for his kingdom. And you don't just do that without doing something with your faith. Like, just saying you have faith and doing nothing is not honoring to God. Yeah, you might get saved by the skin of your teeth, but God has us here to serve his kingdom. And, you know, as James said, you know, I'll show you, you show me your faith by what you say. I'll show you my faith by what I do. And the Bible, Old and New Testaments, is rich on your behavior, your tree showing that you have the fruit of being a Christian. Yes, you're saved by faith, but not just to be saved, but to live a life that's honoring and pleasing to the Lord. And we get that emphasis significantly in the book of Deuteronomy. And I think sometimes when we focus so much on the salvation part through faith without talking about works, without talking about living to honor the Lord and please the Lord and doing the things he commanded, we lose a very significant emphasis of what we're saved for. We're saved to serve God. And now let's dig into Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord has commanded me to teach you, that you might do. And in my version here, I'm using the NASB 95. I have John MacArthur's Study Bible in front of me. I typically preach and read out of the LSB. And actually, side note, the LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, which is a Bible that I recommend, is coming out this fall with a study Bible with John MacArthur's study notes in it, and I've already pre-ordered one. You might want to get ahead of the curve on that. They might be already sold out, but nonetheless, let me begin. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them. He commanded me to teach you that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. What a wonderful verse, that we may learn to fear God, to revere him, to honor him, to highly respect him, to keep what he said, to honor him, and that it will prolong our days. It will lead to greater blessing when we honor the Lord. That's what this book has been about. Listen to what it says. Can you imagine Moses sharing these words and, you know, relaying what God has told him? Oh, Israel, you should listen. Oh, that you would listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, that you would do them. Hallelujah. Oh, what a wonderful word. And here, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, Shema, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Hear, listen, and obey, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one, or he is the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, one of the most significant passages in the Bible. Shema, O Israel, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Oh, that the word of God would be kept close, that God would be kept close, that we would put reminders of God and his word all around us and in our homes. You know, I think back, my kids are adults, and I've got two of my three children following the Lord. I'm very sad about the one who is not at this stage, and I trust God. Oh, God, move his heart to return to you. Something I pray. I'd like to say daily, and it's close, but Lord, please draw him near to you. And I think about, I remember that son, even when he was just a young child, reading the Word of God to him before he could even understand it. And in their later years, we had, you know, devotionals that could be done at dinner. And I want to say, sadly enough, we didn't do it as often as we should have. We did do family meetings. I know the kids remember those. And we'd get together in a living room and we might talk about significant things in the family. And typically that was going to be also significant things about God. I was a pastor during many of the years that my kids were growing up. And at times we did devotions at dinner, but I wish I would have done them more. Lord God, just grab hold of my children, my young adults now. Bring them near to you. Hallelujah. Teach them diligently while you have them home with you. Give them the Word of God. Talk with them at dinner, in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself. See, he's concerned that after he gives them victory, they're going to forget. Then watch yourself, and you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. And that was a huge concern, that as they mixed with people around them, that they'd start taking on worship of their gods. For the Lord your God is in the midst of you, is a jealous God. He does not want you to worship anything other than himself. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. And indeed, God's people were punished later in history for turning away from God. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Look at, you shall do what is right and good, not just believe, but as a result of believing, do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, by driving out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. I just think, you know, to all of you listening right now, it is so good and right for you to be in the Word of God, to be reminded of God, to be reminded of what he desires, to know what he desires. How can we do what we don't know? So it's so important to stay in the Word and to learn what the Word says so that you may obey it. When your son asks you, verse 20, in time to come, saying, what do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed us great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to observe all the statutes, to fear the Lord our God, and our for our good always, and for our survival as it is today. That is so good and right, isn't it? He commanded us to observe all these things and to fear him, the Lord our God, for our good always, and for our survival as it is today. Hallelujah. God means for good. He wants it to go well with you. His ways lead to a better life. Hallelujah. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord your God, just as he commanded us. You know, the good news is that we can be forgiven of all of our sin through faith in Jesus. And with all this emphasis on observing and doing and being careful, I think we can all see that we have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And hallelujah that we have Jesus who took our curse for our disobedience to this law. He took it upon that tree and he saved us through the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. He's forgiven us of our trespasses. Hallelujah. But now we still seek to obey him, to please him, to honor him, not to earn our way to heaven. We receive salvation by faith, but now we observe, and we're careful to follow him, to honor him, and because we trust him, that it is going to go better for us and honor him when we observe and do and be careful to obey what he has commanded. It's for the honor and glory of God and for our own good. Hallelujah. May we Shema, may we hear, may we listen, may we obey the Lord our God and love him with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. God bless you all.